How many of you would like making fewer mistakes? Do you desire, let's put it this way, do you desire for God's perfect will to be performed more often in your life? How many of you would like to make better decisions with your money, your business, your marriage, your children, other areas of your life? I believe that is possible today. We're going to continue in our Holy Spirit series. Turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 16. And let's honor God one more time by standing for the reading of His Word today. And this is Jesus speaking. John 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and to live on the inside of us. Father, it's our belief today that if the Holy Spirit truly lives inside of us, then we're living far beneath Your absolute best for our lives. If that's true, then Father, then we're making too many mistakes. We're coming up short. We're making too many bad decisions. We are not relying on You enough to help us in the way that Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would help us. And so, Lord, we resolve today to be more aware, to be more dependent upon the Holy Spirit inside of us. We believe that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, quickens our mortal bodies. And so teach us how to be led by Your Spirit today, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. Now look at this, at John 16. In John 16, Jesus continues this discussion about the Holy Spirit and tells us a little bit more about Him. John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come, tell you things about your future. He will glorify Me, and He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. Now again, what a distinct advantage that we have in life if this is true. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, He is our Helper. And again, we broke that down a few weeks ago, what it means to be our Helper. He's our Advocate. He's our Counselor. He's our Comforter. He's our Strengthener. He's the One who stands by us, thick and thin, never leaves us nor forsakes us. And then Jesus tells us something a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. When He comes, He's the Spirit of truth, and He's going to begin to reveal truth to you and me, and even show us things to come. Now, how many of you think that would be a great advantage if you knew some things about your future, knew some things that you could avoid that way, things that you would do differently, and so forth? I just don't think that we take enough time or we give enough consideration to the Holy Spirit inside of us. If these things be true, it would seem that would become a priority in our daily life. Instead of a second thought, instead of sort of an emergency type go-to, man, I'm really in trouble, I think I need to pray. Seems that if this is true, and again, it's Jesus' word, so it's even more true if we can use that, is even more true than other things that you would read in the Bible, because it's absolutely Jesus' words. We don't have to sort through now, did Job really speak for God here? Or, you know, is he just saying what Job thought? I mean, this is Jesus. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth, and he will show you things to come. Look at Romans chapter 8. Be honest, we've been very purposeful in our approach to this Holy Spirit series, lest people get the wrong idea. You know, because when some people think about the Holy Spirit, they think about something crazy, something out of control. Well, that's not true. You're more in control probably than ever if the Holy Spirit's in control. I think some things have been done in excess emotionalism in the name of the Holy Spirit. Every once in a while I think, you know, God must have, you know, this flat spot on his forehead where he goes, man, they're blaming me again, you know. I mean, I like to have a good time. I enjoy, you know, when the presence of the Spirit's in the place, but I'm telling you, that could be peaceful, but it could also be powerful. And some of the most powerful things that I think of are when you think of like a draft horse, powerful, but completely, totally under control of its owner leading him. And so when we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not something that's going to be spinning necessarily out of control, but just think of great power under control when you think about the Holy Spirit. And so we purposefully kind of, you know, made sure that, you know, Aaron asked me this morning, man, are you going to bring it today? I said, well, yes, but not in like a shouting kind of a way. There's a place for that. I love to shout and preach and get spit all over my iPad and, you know, and just get everybody excited. But I purposely, on this Holy Spirit series, didn't want you to get the wrong idea, wrong impression here. I mean, think about this. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And Jesus said he would lead us and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. I think that's something to seriously consider and think about. I mean, Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12 verse 3. So that you could prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in your life. That's what I want to do. I want to prove out the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God in my life. I want things to change. I want things to be different. I don't want to keep making the same mistakes. I want to make better decisions. I want to help guide the affairs of my life, of my family, and this church, and my children and grandchildren to come. Romans 8, verse 14 says this, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. I mean, think about the impact of that statement. How many of you really, truly would confess today you're a son or daughter of God today? I mean, that's me. I'm a child of God. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus, these shall be called the children or the sons of God. How many of you just, absolutely, that's me. Well, then you should be being led by the Spirit of God. Those that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. That's a promise from God. We could even say that's a fact. It's stated as fact. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together with him. So when we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God, think about it bearing witness. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Now, we live in a world that's full of noise, noise, noise. Feel like the Grinch. But it's true. And I would just say that the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life is not noisy. Holy Spirit, I don't believe, is going to shout to try to get your attention. The Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. So something on the inside of you is going to lead you, because that's where He lives. The voice of the Spirit rarely is loud. The voice of the Spirit is rarely forceful. Remember that when the prophet of God was looking for God, he didn't find Him in the whirlwind. But he found the voice of God in that still, small voice. And if we highly value the Spirit of God inside of us and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have to learn how to value some quiet times. The Holy Spirit will guide you, I believe, away from danger, defeat. He'll guide you into truth and victory, the Father's will for your life. But we need to learn how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You can be led by the Holy Spirit. Our friend Clint Sprague, the pastor of Life Church in Olathe, says it this way: if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, you are being led by something else. That thought terrifies me. If I'm not being led by the Holy Spirit, then I am being led by something else. And generally, that something else is far, it's just not as good as Holy Spirit leadership. Because that means my emotions, you know, my friends, I started to say my dumb friends, but then some of you might wonder if I'm talking about you, so I didn't say it that way. You know, my relatives, my experience, my present circumstance, is all these things want to lead and guide me, but I want to be led by the Spirit of God. How about you? So if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, then we need to better understand how He speaks, or what kind of language that He would speak in. Look with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. If we begin in verse 12, it says, "As the elect of God, holy and beloved," that's you, "put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts." You're going to find that leadership of the Holy Spirit has a whole lot to do with peace. The absence of peace is absence of Holy Spirit leadership. "And let the peace of God," verse 15, "rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful." Now here's what I'm getting to, verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I want you to particularly notice verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." If we think about the fact that all Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, we believe that, right? Okay. So now if the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide and direct your life, it seems logical to me that He's going to speak in a language that's consistent to Holy Scripture, because it's the inspired Word of God that we have recorded for us. So the better that you know the Word of God, the better you're going to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you're better going to recognize. Have you ever just asked yourself, well, was that me or was that God? I don't know if that's me or that's God. Well, you know, Let's put it this way. If you heard something on the inside of you that says, you know, give $1,000 to that missionary, that's probably God. Because you're thinking, I don't know. That was supposed to be funnier than it was, all right? Acts 1:16 says, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. How many of you have some people that when they call you on the phone, of course, we all have, you know, caller ID now with all our phones today. I remember, you know, when that was first out, you know, my friend Tony Cook thought it was really cool because he was one of the first guys I knew that had caller ID. So you'd call him up and he'd say, hi, Stan. Like he, you know, was really, you know, in tune to the Holy Spirit. Now we all have that function. I said, Tony, yeah, you're awesome, you know. But how many of you have people in your life that all you have to do is hear their voice and you know who it is? Why is that a fact? Why is that a fact? Because you've heard that voice repeatedly over a long enough period of time that, you know, there's just some of you, if I was, you know, anywhere in the world in an airport and I heard your voice, I would know, well, you know, what's so-and-so doing here? I mean, I didn't know, you know, they were on this trip. I mean, you could just hear them. You would just recognize their voice. And though you were unaware of their presence, all of a sudden you would know, so-and-so's here, right? Now, how many of you have those kind of people in your life? I mean, you know their voice that well that you could be anywhere in the world and hear. I mean, if Lorraine Odendahl started laughing, come on, somebody. And I could be, let's just say, Timbuktu, because that's my favorite. That's my favorite city name in all the world. I could be in Timbuktu. I would hear that laugh, and I go, what's Lorraine doing in Nepal? Come on. I thought she was in Chillicothe, right? Right? Come on. How many of you would recognize Lorraine's laugh? And you would be, your heart would be full of joy because you heard that laugh. Now, shouldn't we... Or Jay's whistle. If you're gonna, you know, force other people. I moved myself on up to the stage in a holy moment this morning because I just thought, my ear's gonna be ringing and I've gotta preach here in a few minutes. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we recognized the voice of the Holy Spirit in that same way? Oh, that's God. Now, if you want to be more familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're going to need to be more familiar with Scripture. God, the Holy Spirit, is going to speak to you in a language that's consistent with what He's saying in Scripture. The better familiar you are, the more familiar you are with God's Word, the more familiar you're going to be. Yeah, because, I mean, how many of you have heard your whole life, you need to read your Bible? But people really failed to give you the reason why. Because you thought you needed to read your Bible so that God would be pleased with you. Well, that's sort of an indirect truth. God's not pleased with you in the function of, in the activity of you reading your Bible. That's not really what makes God happy. Somebody didn't like that. I wanted to back up just in case. I wanted to get out of throwing distance, all right? Reading your Bible doesn't make God happy. Doing the Word of God makes God happy. I mean, Jesus told us a parable. He said there's people that build their lives, some on good foundations and some on bad foundations. Now, in the parable, you know, the storms of life come and The person that builds on a bad foundation, they get wiped out. The person that builds on a good foundation, their life stands. You know, it's the parable of the building on the rock or building on the sand. Do you know there's one variable that's the same in both lives? Both lives heard the word of God. I said both lives heard the word of God. So hearing the word of God only doesn't necessarily please God. Hearing the word only doesn't necessarily create a solid foundation for your life. Look up the parable again. They both heard the word. The foolish person didn't do it, the word. The wise person did the word of God. So how are you going to do something that you don't know about? And how are you going to consistently do God's will and God's word in your life if you don't consistently put God's word into your life? I said something, I think, last week or the week before, that really what you get from me or anybody up here for 35, 40 minutes on a Sunday morning is not enough to carry you throughout the week. That's not enough word of God for you. That's not enough word of God for you to be familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit. You might be a little bit familiar with my voice. But you need to be familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit, and He speaks in the language of the Word of God. That's why you need to get on some kind of Bible reading program. Man, you ought to be reading at least a chapter a day. You ought to get on dailychapel.com. You ought to get on some other reading program. I mean, start reading through the Psalms, start reading through the Proverbs, you know, start reading through the book of Romans, something. You need to be doing something so you can familiarize yourself with the voice of the Holy Spirit, because, and do it consistently. There's going to be times, come on somebody, we need to hide God's word in our heart. The second point this morning is this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, verse 17, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And if you're going to be a person who's more often and more consistently led by the Spirit of God, you're going to need to be a person of prayer. And again, prayer's not about pleasing God directly. Prayer gets you in tune with God so you can do the things that please God. So if you're a person that is prone to complaint and belly aching and worrying and full of fear and full of doubt, and you're expressing that and full of gossip and all those things, you need to put something different in your mouth. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Because I'll just be honest with you, the Holy Spirit does not speak in the language of criticism. The Holy Spirit does not speak in the language of hatred. The Holy Spirit does not speak in the language of doubt and unbelief and fear and worry. So you're attuning your life to the voice of the Holy Spirit when you rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I think the next verse says, don't quench, do not quench the Spirit. What quenches the Spirit then? Not rejoicing, not praying, not giving thanks. I can't afford to quench the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need more access to the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life. And if I do something other than rejoice, and if I do something other than pray, and I do something other than give thanks, then that's going to quench the voice of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's going to quench the Spirit. I've heard all kinds of things, you know, growing up in and around this church thing. I've heard all kinds of things that quench the Holy Spirit, and none of them were these things, according to the voice of the church elders. But these are the things that quench the Holy Spirit. Putting something other than the joy of the Lord in my mouth. Something other than thanksgiving and something other than prayer. Look, the Holy Spirit comes into our life by invitation. So if you need to be making better decisions, James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God and He'll give it to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit's not going to force His opinions on you, and they're not opinions, they're truth. That wisdom of God comes by our asking for that. And so, guys, that's something we need to be doing daily, but it's something we need to be doing all throughout the day. Lord, I need to know what to do here. Lord, help me. I really, you know, made a mess of it this morning before I left the house. You know, I really lost my temper. And Lord, you need to help me fix this. What are you doing? You're asking the Holy Spirit to come in. You're asking Him to get involved. You're asking for leadership of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know what to do and you know how to fix this. You can do things I can't do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, you don't have to worry and fret and stew and stress out about things, but you can pray with thanksgiving. What happens? Verse 7, peace of God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I said, isn't that a wonderful thing? If we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, then we need to be people of the Word of God, and we need to be praying without ceasing. And then we won't be prone to emotional decisions. It keeps us spiritually alert. It keeps our hearts pure. Write this down. Look it up now or look it up later. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Isaiah 55, verse 12. For you will go out with joy and you will be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you by peace. You say, well, how do I know if this decision that I'm making is the right decision? Well, do you have peace about it? That's the number one clue you're looking for is, do I have peace? You say, well, I don't have peace. Well, then you can't make a decision yet. You can't go that direction yet. You say, well, how do I get peace? I'd stay in the Word of God and I'd stay in prayer. Guys, there's some things that you're going to face in life that your morning, you know, 5-minute devotion's not going to be enough. You know, a casual, you know, Lord help me prayer probably isn't going to be enough. Jesus suggested that there's sometimes in prayer where we need to go into our prayer closet, shut the door behind us, and talk to the one who knows all about it. Talk to him in secret and he'll reward you openly. There's just some things, guys, in life that you're going to have to spend a little bit more time in prayer and say, Lord, I really need to know what to do here. I mean, this is my kid. We're talking about here. This is my business. This is my livelihood. This is my future. You know, I can't just casually move across the country. I can't just casually shut down this business and start a new business. You know, we're having a lot of difficulty here in our marriage, God, and you know, a lot of it's my fault, and I need your help here. Are you following me? And the Spirit of God, who lives on the inside of you, will lead and guide you into all truth, and He'll show you things to come. He'll show you what to do, how to speak differently, how to act differently. Guys, we can be led by the Spirit of God because we're the sons and daughters of God. Can you say amen? But you know, that begins with the first step. It's becoming a child of God. You become a child of God by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that God raised Him again from the dead, then you shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whoever believes, He gives them the right to be called the children of God. Now, just earlier in the service, I just sensed that, you know, there's people that came into church today that you have some familiarity with God somewhere in your background, probably from your childhood. Somewhere in your life, you more than drifted away from. I'll just kind of reveal to you what I believe. You more than drifted away. You ran away from God. As a matter of fact, you've spent a great deal of your time even mocking God. Maybe some of your relatives who, you know, talked about God, talked about hearing from God and all that sort of thing. But here you are today in the house of God, being drawn back by the Spirit of God to Himself. I don't know who that is. I can't come point you out, but I really sensed that today. And I'm just telling you, the reason that you're here today is because the Holy Spirit led you to this place. And God loves you, and God can take all the ridicule, and He can take all the abuse. Come on, think about Jesus. He was insulted, He was mocked, He was beaten, He was nailed to a cross. They had a spear thrust into His side, and at the same time saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." It was all necessary, because without Christ, that's every single one of us would mock and jeer and rebel against God. But the Spirit of God's drawing you back to Himself today, so don't run away from that. Please allow one of us to pray with you before you leave the building today. I don't want to embarrass anybody by making you walk an aisle or come forward or anything like that, but I am going to make three young men walk the aisle right now. We have three young men that are going to be baptized in water today. Isn't that exciting?